Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ.
Good morning.
Today's reading is in the New Testament from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 12 down to verse 21, which should be the last verse in Philippians. And I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Verse 14. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us, then, who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you before and now, tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. God bless the reading of his word.
I'm starting a sermon series for the next 4 weeks from the book of Philippians, so I hope you read the inserts and you can be able to follow what I'm doing. Philippians is probably one of my favorite books. It's a very short book, so it can be done in a reading. Whenever I feel a bit low or depressed, I can usually read this book and feel good. Scholars tell us maybe a key word is the word joy, kara. It's used quite often. Sometimes he uses it like a noun, sometimes like a verb. I can enjoy having fellowship with you. I can enjoy Chinese yum cha. I can enjoy playing the piano. And I enjoy knowing God knows me by name, has a purpose for me, and is very patient with me. Paul has this very positive attitude in life. He knows much joy. He writes the book when he is in prison, but he talks about, I am not really discouraged. Actually, it gives me a lot of opportunity. Paul would seem to find any occasion with some kind of a special way to share his faith. So he writes the letter particularly because of one particular stimulating point. There was a man there named Epaphroditus, and he was taking very good care of Paul, and he got sick. And people back home heard about this. And he said, Paul said, I'm going to send Epaphroditus back to you. I want you to see that he's okay. And I'm very grateful, not only for what he has done for me, but for the gifts you give me. Then Paul quite often will say, you know, I never ask for money. In fact, I'm not getting rich out of this. But some of you have chosen to share your resources, and I do thank God for that. So he's writing a letter to say, your dear friend and brother Epaphroditus, he's doing fine. You've given me some very nice support, and I'm very grateful. Then it gives him an occasion to say, and I need to give you some advice, some exhortation. Some people in your church are very full of themselves. When they preach the gospel, it has a kind of an arrogance. That should never be. Scholars like to talk about what we call the kenosis hymn in chapter 2. You should have the mind of Christ who empties himself of all heavenly glory, takes upon himself the form of a servant, and in this powerless position, he has a strange power. So Paul gives that very grand hymn, trying to say, this is a way you solve this problem, that in your church, you have some very fine people, but you've also got some busybodies. And he calls out two women by name. So feminist scholars always say, I'm sure there were more than women that he needs to scold. And yes, I'm sure there were. But he mentions two in particular who were causing a problem. So he's thanking God for a gift. He's thanking God for one of their fellow church members that's helped him. And he's trying to say to them, Christians should have a unity. Of course you have different opinions, different personalities. Sometimes it can be very, very hard to work together. And sometimes you're going to be bitterly disappointed. But do you think you can live the life alone? We are a fellowship of sinners. But sinners being saved and capable of correction and discipline. And so he builds everything on the model of the self-emptying Christ. So it's a very, very rich book. When Ruth and I were first married, and her mother, who's a very godly woman, said, Jerry, why don't you give us a little devotional before you all take off on your honeymoon? I thought, well, what shall I do? So I read her part of Philippians. I think she decided then I might be okay as a preacher. There are so many wonderful verses by the time you get to the end of that book. When he begins to kind of generalize and give his final words, you find so many rich golden texts. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be poor, I can be rich, but I can do all things with him. Pray without ceasing. It's the most positive encouragement kind of thing. So that is Paul, I really think, at his best. I believe he's probably in Rome. It might be toward the end of his ministry when he is writing this. But today I wanted to use what he says about pressing onward or forward. Seems to me very appropriate for our Western New Year. So in chapter 3, I will read again just that first part that was read for us. I do not claim I have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has already won me to himself. I do not think I have already won it. The one thing I do, forget what is behind, do my best to reach what is ahead. So I run straight to the goal to win the prize, which is God's call through Christ to the life above. That's very beautifully and richly said. And so Paul will say, we never quite reach perfection, but it doesn't mean we don't have lots of victories along the way. So God has not chosen to do his work isolated from us. There's a beautiful prayer. God's hands are your hands. His feet are your feet. His voice is your voice. He's waiting for you to enflesh, just as he did with Jesus, what he's all about. And the way he wants to bond and bless the world he has made. So pressing onward, pressing upward, not paralyzed by past failures. I think most of us probably live long enough, accumulate some baggage along the way. Don't nurse past hurts. It's very toxic. It can be a very hard business, letting go of some past hurts. But if you can push ahead and say, I'm not going to be a victim of the past. I can be forgiven, and I can try to forgive those who have hurt me. Let me just add a point here. This is another sermon, but it's worth making. How on earth do you forgive people who have hurt you? How do you let go of the past? When Ruth and I were home this past summer, turned on the car radio, and a Catholic broadcasting person did a wonderful thing that has helped me so much. He said, if you cannot forgive someone, say, God, give me the desire to want to forgive. If that doesn't work, pray for the desire to want to forgive. If that doesn't work, pray for the desire, for the desire, for the desire to want to forgive. I find that very helpful. That way it's kind of realistic. Lord, I've not made it yet. but I don't want to be stuck. And Paul is saying, don't get stuck in the past. Remember, his past was not a very good one. He persecuted Christians, even to the point of death, because Paul is one of those all or nothing, urgent, energetic, radical people. He either believes the gospel or he doesn't. But he remembers with shame that part of his history, but said, but God turned me around. I'm not going to dwell on those past failures. And if I suffer for him, good, I can walk in his steps. I thought now I would like to share with you some things that personally have helped me, talking about pushing ahead. If you have a chance to read your notes later, you might think about this. To dream the impossible dream. Do you know this? I ought to get Terry, our soloist here, someone sing that as a solo for us one day. It comes from the Don Quixote story. To dream the impossible dream. Don Quixote is probably the classic in the Spanish-speaking world. Cervantes was sort of like their Shakespeare. He talks about a man who lived with a lot of illusions, but beautiful illusions. He wanted to be a knight to go rescue those in distress. He often would get himself in lots of trouble, but he was so pure-hearted. He wanted to do the impossible dream. That has encouraged me many times. Do you know the song, Climb Every Mountain? Okay, we ought to get one of our soloists here sing that for us someday. It, of course, comes from Sound of Music. When I was dating Ruth, first of all, she was my co-worker in Bible school, and I admired her. And later it turned into love. And we decided we should marry. But I wanted to finish my master's work in English literature, and she decided to go to Louisville, Kentucky, to start teaching. She would that way have a place for us when I finally could join her. And when I went to visit her, she gave me a treat. She took me downtown to a big cinema. In those days, movie theaters were like palaces. It was a big deal. And she treated me to see The Sound of Music. And we love that song, Climb Every Mountain. So it seems like artists have this gift of taking this longing and turning it into something that we can feel and connect with. I'd like to end by saying something now about making New Year resolutions. When I was a boy, I just thought that was so neat to write down your New Year resolutions. And one I would always write down is, I'm going to be nicer to my little brother. And after 1 week, I broke it. You know, my resolutions never lasted more than a week. Finally, I just kind of gave up. I thought, you know, to heck with this. This is not going to work. But there is something about a new year as a time of stock taking. Kind of looking back over your past. Things you've not quite done and you want to keep in front of you. So I've listed here some things I would like for you to think about. New Year resolutions. Find a realistic way to nurture your spirituality through Bible study and prayer. And I use the word realistic. A few years ago, I was in some growth group. Some Catholics and Anglicans came together and they were trying to talk about how to nurture our inner life. And I wrote out my program. I was going to read, you know, 2 or 3 chapters of the Bible each day and pray an hour. And this Catholic father said, you're very ambitious. Are you a priest? Do you think you could really do this? And later I found out he was quite right. Find something that works. We always say, ideally, read your Bible every day, pray every day. Find something that works for you. It may be 2 times a week you have a serious kind of study. But find some way that's realistic. Work on personal time and shared time. Hong Kong people were always frantically busy. But try to find some time for yourself if you can. If you work in an office, I think it's criminal how our people have to work overtime and they're not paid for it. And they're sort of looked down upon if they don't stay those long, long hours. But if you can find some time within the day to take a little walk around the mall, in the park, whatever, give yourself little islands somewhere. If you're on mass transit, you can say a prayer. Find those little islands. And then find ways to connect to people outside your own circles. This circle is very easy. It's very easy for me to love you because we share so much in common. And you give me a lot of respect. Ruth said, you get so much respect. Do I get much respect? I said, I think so. So I know I'm very privileged that way. But I hope you will find ways to connect to people outside these circles and to try to begin to understand other religions and philosophies. I would always teach people respect other people's convictions and their religions. I do not buy the line, you say all Muslims and Islam is evil. That is a horrible apologetic. Every religion endures because it's met some need. It has some insight. I shall die a Christian, but I shall listen with respect to people who have other ways of understanding life. And I want to hear their witness and hope they will hear mine. Well, find ways to have a bigger heart and mind like the Christ. I thought a nice way to end our service would sing that great hymn, This is My Father's World. But first, may we pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe you are the way, the truth, and the life. We believe that many people are searching for some kind of meaning in life, but they don't know where to look, and they can't always identify their own hunger. We pray that all people seeking for light, like the wise men of old, shall eventually find that light. And they will bring their gifts of grateful hearts. And they will go back into their worlds and take good news. Again, we thank you for the new year. Possibilities that lie ahead. Call us to adventure. Deeper faith. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.